Hey, greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Wow. We are ready. Are you ready?
I know that we're going down a Muncie rabbit hole on this one. I'm already prepared. I'm wearing my Save the Bees t-shirt. So
yep.
I am super excited about bee folklore because I have been learning for my beehiving all about the bees, but I think you're going a different route than most of us think.
I'm going to do a little bit of history. I'm going to do a lot of folklore. I'm going to do some mythology. We're going all over the board here. So
yes,
if you want to interject with beekeeping science, you do that.
I may do that, but I will say this. I just want all of our Eerie Travelers listeners understand how vital bees are for our entire planet. So don't swat and kill them. Remember that they need help. No. And believe it or not, if you see a bee laying on the ground, give it a little water. It might just need, it might have run out of hydration and then let it go. I did that with, you know, my granddaughter the other day, and she was so surprised that the bee drank, got up, flew away.
There's so much fun stuff with this. So, all right. So we're going to not really talk about agriculture or economics right off the bat. We'll get there. We'll get there. But we're going to start with kind of myth, memory, and a little bit of mystery here. So, you know, like I said, we've kind of looked at the bumblebee or the honeybee. I know they call them the humble bumbles sometimes and stuff like that. You know, it's not just labor and nectar, but we're going to go all over. So we're going to go Egypt to Appalachia with this. So just buckle up. It's a heck of a ride. So
I am buckling up. I'm ready to
we're
go.
We're gonna let the buzzing guide us. And it's even been called the sacred murmur. We're going to get there. So, all right. So active beekeeping, right? It is ancient. It has been traced back over 9,000 years to cave paintings in Valencia, Spain.
Wow. That's a distance.
That's how far back beekeeping goes. Nobody realizes that. It was recorded on Sumerian tablets. It's on Egyptian scrolls. I mean, we know about medieval manuscripts and monks doing it and stuff like that, but that's how far back it goes. And it's not just about keeping bees. It's never just about the honey. It's kind of harmony. Bees are the symbol of idealized society, right? Each member of a hive plays a role, and each gesture has a purpose for bees. Now, like I said, the monks in medieval Europe cultivated hives. That was part of their spiritual practice. That wasn't just for honey. Puritan beekeepers in early America, they have this great quote that they noticed that the bees mourned the deaths of their masters, and they were acting strangely around the subject of grief. So they don't just live amongst us. They're kind of living with us. So there is this tradition that I was talking to you about that you didn't know about.
No, I didn't.
And it's this ritual called telling the bees. And you had never heard of it. A few others hadn't. So I figured, okay, we got to go into this. And it was really widespread in England, and then it came to America with the settlers and all that. And basically, it's when a loved one dies, the family beekeeper would go to each hive, often in the morning, and they would knock gently three times on the wood, and then they'd speak, and then sometimes they'd sing the news. You know, the master is dead. And sometimes they drape the hive in black cloth like a shroud. And the idea is basically simple. The bees are part of the family and they deserve to know this stuff. And the consequences
of they wouldn't see that person again, because we think of bees as just dumb insects, but they recognize, you know what I mean? They do see you and they do understand the lack of danger that comes, and they have really good senses. People don't realize that, but they have incredible senses.
Yeah, and that was Carrie's with her jumping spiders. They recognize her. They know she brings them the flies, and then they recognize me because I'm the loud guy that walks in the room. it's funny. And then basically, you know, the consequences of not telling the bees is very simple. they just stop producing honey. They leave the hive. They might even die out. It's crazy. So in New Hampshire, this one author named Tammy Horn, she's noticed that beekeepers had to sing messages and they had to rhyme them like lullabies. When someone was getting married or when somebody had a baby, you sung it to the bees just so that they would know what's going on. So for those that don't understand this, I've got an article. This isn't some folklore article. This isn't from ages ago. This is from Shropshire, England on the 3rd of March, 1961.
Wow.
And this is a very strange swarming incident was recorded in the Shrewsbury Chronicle. All right, so here we go. Sam Rogers, who died suddenly 6 weeks after his retirement as Middles postman, a job he had held for 41 years, he was very devoted to his bees. At his death, his children carried out the old traditional custom of walking around the 14 hives, telling the bees to stop them, as legend has it, from flying away. On the day after his funeral, a memorial service was being held in the church where it was noted that swarm after swarm of bees were coming from the direction of Sam Rogers' home in Lower Road Middle. It was a mile and a half away as the crow flies. They settled in a great swarm all over the flowers on the grave to the astonishment of the congregation as they came out from the service. They thought it was fantastic. So we have some quotes from that event. They basically, the bees just carpeted.
I love that.
The grave. The rector, a Reverend J.C. Argyling, told the Chronicle, "It was a remarkable sight. The bees were clustered all over the grave. The only logical reason, I suppose, is that the flowers on the grave attracted them." But experts were puzzled by this behavior because at this time of year, the bees are still sluggish and rarely fly from hives. The chairman of Shropshire Beekeepers Association said it was very unusual for bees to fly such a distance at this time of year, and he had never heard anything like it before. It is perhaps the flowers on the graves that attracted him, but it was very odd. It had to be the result of the children telling the bees. Now, here's the cool thing. By nightfall, the bees all flew back to their hives in the cottage garden where Sam Rogers had looked after them for so many years. How cool is that?
I love that. I love
the
that
bees knew.
Because, and it's so true. It's like almost any creature out there, even humans, you know who cares for you. You know on a core level who you can trust generally. I mean, how many situations are we in where we later go, well, you know, I thought this, but then I did the exact opposite. I mean, at least they're in a way smart enough to actually just follow the instinct that's telling them the right thing to do. Yep. But I love that. Yep. That's such a sweet sort of send-off.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then, so today, it still lives on. In September 2022, the death of Queen Elizabeth II, the royal beekeeper, John Chappell, he followed the custom. He visited each hive at Buckingham Palace and at Clarence House. He knocked softly and he whispered, "The mistress is dead, but don't you go. Your master will be good to you." And then black ribbons were tied to each hive because even in royalty, the bees got to be told, right?
Yeah, no, they do. They understand the hierarchy. They knew who was queen.
So now we're going to go back a little.
Ooh, way back machine.
We're
going
to go to ancient Egypt. Way back machine. We're going back to ancient Egypt. So walk like an Egyptian, Erica.
So, I can, but I think I'm going to be a lot taller than all of them there, Mark. I think we're going to tower over most of the Egyptians. So
they say the bees came of divine origin. So they were born from the tears of Ra, the sun god. And as his tears fell upon the desert sand, from those tears came bees. They were sacred. They were golden. They were purposeful. And they used honey in rituals, offerings. They used it in mummification. You were buried with it as purpose. And then the goddess Neith, the cosmic mother, she was often connected to bees. and pharaohs stamped their sigils on seals, not with wax, but with bee honey. And royal, you know, and they would stamp it with royalty, resurrection, and wisdom. And we found tombs sealed jars of honey that is still edible. And that's how important bees were. And so there was just basically endurance and sweetness, I guess.
If you're going to get hungry in the afterlife, you might as well have something that will actually survive for many millennium, because you don't know when you're going to come back or be, you know, need it.
Yeah. So we're going to go to Greek and Roman tradition, because as we know,
according
to Eddie Izzard, when the Romans came to Greece and they're like, oh, thank God you've got better gods than we do.
Jeff, the god of biscuits.
You know, so Jeff, the god of biscuits, right? So we got a crap god, so let's take yours. But so Greek tradition, the bees were sacred to Artemis, you know, the goddess of wild places, and Demeter, the goddess of agriculture. And both of their priestesses were called Melissae, a name taken from the word Melissa, which means bees. So queen bees.
Wow.
And the Melissae were the oracles. They were able to channel divine wisdom through sound and dance. Which, what do bees do? Sound and dance. They hum, they murmur, yeah, they dance, you know, they buzz. And the Oracle at Delphi, you've heard of her, the famous legendary oracle. Pilgrims came to her for prophecy. She was told that the messengers to her that gave her these prophecies were the bees. And Plindar, the poet Pindar, he referred to the Pythia, the oracle herself, as a Delphian bee. That's what he called her. Some myths claim that, you know, the first prophetic voices were those of the three bee maidens called the Thraei, who sang truths in ancient buzzing tomes. So the bees as seers. And the soul was imagined as a golden bee, and it would fly from your body into eternity. So how cool is that?
That's very neat. I mean, honestly, whatever shape my soul may take, being a bee would be kind of kick butt. Not going to lie. I would choose that.
Yeah, I love that. So Rome, as we were discussing, they had the myth of Jupiter and the bee. And basically says a queen bee came to Jupiter and carried a sample of her hive's honey. And he tasted it, amazed. This is delicious. This is incredible. And she's like, well, I need to protect my honey from predators. There's bad things coming to steal my honey. And he's like, all right, I can give you a weapon. But if I give you a weapon, that might be used against us, the gods. So he sought out Juno, his wife, and she's like, oh yeah, this honey is delicious, but we should give them a weapon, but with a caveat. Said, we will give them a weapon, but if they ever use it, they die. So that way they can't overtake us. So Jupiter granted them the stingers, but it gave them that fatal consequence. So if the bee ever stung anybody, they die. So it became a weapon of love, protection, and sacrifice. How cool is that?
That's very, very cool.
I love
cool.
that. Okay.
You did
so
a deep dive. I love this Wayback Machine.
I'm loving that. So, all right. So we're going to leave the temples behind. I'm sorry, Erica. I know you love them.
Darn it. I was enjoying we're gonna all go, the mead.
All right. Well, we're going to go and we're going to get you some moonshine. So
let's
we're
go.
Coming back
you know
home
I'm
to
down
Appalachian.
For moonshine.
I figured that would get you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You okay. know I'm down for moonshine. Let's do it.
Okay.
Did I tell you, Mark?
So we got to get.
2 days ago, I started making my own mead. Two days ago, I have a batch of blackberry mead that I've started. So there's some irony to this entire episode happening.
Hang on to that mead, because I got a thing about that you're going to love. So.
Ooh, okay. Go.
You may know, you may not. All right, so Appalachia, kind of folklore amongst the wildflowers here. So one of my beloved things here is the Foxfire books. Are you familiar with those?
No.
They're probably an important part of every Appalachian of old. They were a collection of facts. They were kind of like the farmer's almanacs, but they would mix folklore, they would mix facts, they would have cooking things and stuff like that. They're just basically collections of mountain wisdom. And wow, there are sections in them on bees. So if a swarm is coming at you, right? If a bee swarm is coming at you, how do you get rid of it? You can't get it with a net, you know, like the beekeeping nets or something like that. You stop it with rhythm. So they would grab pans or other instruments, and they would just start beating in kind of a hypnotic beat and call the swarms to settle down.
It does make sense, because one of the things I learned when I started getting into beekeeping is you can actually hear from the buzzing and stuff whether or not a swarm is not happy with what's going on, or they're agitated and stuff like that. You can actually hear it. And so that's kind of neat, though, to think that if they are coming at you, all you got to do is like get some music going. I wonder if they like salt and pepper. We'll have to try that out.
I don't know. I was that could do. I'm a big fan of of Sir Mix-a-Lot. That would probably be the drum swarm I would use. But
just put on your iPhone and put on some Celtic music. But I wonder if they have to also feel the vibration. You know what I mean? Which they wouldn't necessarily do. So it'd be interesting to see how that would work.
Yeah, one of the other Foxfire books talked about they would throw sand into the air over the area they'd want them to settle, like a bunch of wildflowers or something like that. And it would sometimes attract them to it. So interesting. Now, some of the other things in Foxfire was you basically follow the moon signs, because the moons affect the swarms, affect your hives. So full moons will stir hive activity according to them. And also that's when if you've got to move a hive, you have to do it during the new moon, so that it doesn't disturb the hive as much.
That makes sense.
And now this is stuff that was basically generational, right? They followed this, and these were observations that they figured out. So again, harmony, nature, keeper and the winged soul, right? That's where we're at with this.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I got a little lyrical with this. I apologize, gang, but this just stuff was moving me as I was reading this. This makes me want to keep bees. Okay, so your mead, I'm going to skip ahead to a Scandinavian tradition. When a newly married couple gets married, they were given a month's worth of honey wine, you know, mead, and it's to celebrate the new, the sweetness of the new marriage, to encourage happiness, to encourage a good time so that they could consummate that marriage. And you know what term we get from this?
Oh, no. What? Honeymoon.
Honeymoon.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that. Honeymoon.
Yes.
Oh, that's actually going to be kind of neat. I'm going to use that for friends that get married in the future and make sure that I give them meat and tell them that story. Because you know what, especially with arranged marriages and stuff like that, those kind of things happening, like the best thing you could probably do is get drunk and then you could sleep with your spouse just in case you're not attracted to them, you know?
Yeah.
Beer level, so to speak. I love that. Honeymoon. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I had no idea.
Like I said, I'm finding all kinds of crazy stuff when I was looking on this, right? So now, on the opposite of that, if you want to find out if your husband's been cheating on you, you walk him by a hive, and bees will only sting him if he's been unfaithful.
Oh, God, that feels bad for the guy walking through the bees. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty crazy, right? Now, we've got all this stuff about telling it to the bees, so I'm going to go into some proverbs and some other stuff, but I think we need to take a quick break before I delve into the rest of this.
Okay, no, we can absolutely take a quick break here. A word from our sponsors, And to the bees listening, bzz, 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 bzz.
Prepare to be devoured. The Wolves of Wharton is a 6-part complete book series by Eerie Travels producer Beau Lake. It has been called dark and visceral, steamy, dramatic, and a fresh take on the werewolf mythos. If you like action, adventure, a large serving of body horror, and some steamy relations, the Wolves of Wharton series is for you. Pick it up wherever books are sold or at linktree.com/Beau_Lake.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
There you go. I made sure all the bees were aware of what was happening.
Yep. Sorry, gang. Allergies are killing me today because there's so many flowers outside. I'm loving the bees. So
support the bees and cause Mark to have allergy attacks. La 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 la.
I had to go outside and ask them about things, so you know, make sure that I was getting it right. So.
Well,
I treat the bees.
You got to get it right because you don't want them mad at. We don't need the bee community mad at us. No.
All right. So we're going to do some proverbs now.
Okay.
And so proverbs, this is kind of folk wisdom etched into memory here. So, okay, I'm going to give you a line and you tell me what you think it means. So,
okay.
A swarm in May is worth a load of hay.
A swarm in May is worth a load of hay. Meaning that if the bees swarm, they may pollinate enough to get a bunch of hay?
It basically means that if you have a strong May swarm, that means the bees are very early, they're healthy. That means you're going to have a great harvest. It means you're going to make a lot of money later in the year because your crops are going to do really well.
Oh, I like that. All right. Okay. Yep.
All right. So the next one. A swarm in June is worth a silver spoon.
Oh, does that mean that you make even more money if you have an additional swarm in June?
Actually, it means the opposite. It means it's a little less valuable. It's still going to be good because you had that May swarm is perfect. The June swarm's going to be okay. You're going to do well.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
Okay. So now the next one should be pretty obvious. A swarm in July is not worth a fly.
Meaning that if your swarm shows up in July, you're not going to have anything because it's way too late in the season.
Yeah, and that also means your hive is less likely to survive because it took that wait for them to swarm. So and go out and get pollen and stuff. Yeah, so that's not good. So you got to sing to them then. Make them healthier. Make them better. That's what you got to do. So, all right. So there was kind of, I like this one. This was a variation on that one from May, which is, this is from Celtic tradition. A swarm in May is worth a cow and her calf and a load of hay. So that's, that's a good bounty, right?
Yeah. That's a huge bounty. I like cows too, as we know. So that's enjoyable. Cows and bees.
Here's one that is just basic and it tells it exactly like it is. Bees sting those who hate them.
So, yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
So now I got it. This was a fun little anecdote that I found. This is from an article from 1750 from the Modern Husbandman magazine, which is our literature tract at the time. William Ellis recorded that a farmer's wife who loved her bees was never stung, but her husband who disliked them was stung his whole life. And that was just one little comment from that article. And I was just like, well, bees react accordingly.
No, totally. I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. All right. So here's some important advice here. Some beliefs that basically bees avoid conflict. So homes full of shouting, bees abandon that home for, the hives there. People who swear loudly, bees tend to shy away. Now, this is a tradition. Babies, young children, and virgins, according to most traditions, can pass through a swarm untouched. Purity as protection, right? As it were. So innocence.
Well, we're in trouble.
We're in bad shape. So, all right, let's get back to swarming. So swarming carries its own set of omens, right?
Okay.
So in Wales, a swarm entering your house means someone's going to die soon.
Well, so, enough bees sting you, that might be the case, especially if you go into anaphylactic shock.
Yeah. In other places, if a swarm passes through your house and goes out the other side, that's a sign you're getting a visitor. But an unpleasant visitor. But yeah, a swarm, right?
Oh, it's kind of like the broom falling, you know?
Yep.
Exactly. Broom falls, that means it's an omen that you're getting a visitor.
Yep. Now, if breeze settle on a dead branch or on your rooftop, that means bad luck is coming your way.
Yikes.
And if they nestle near your house, that's going to delay your marriage. Now, let's say you need to get your bees back, right? If they've flown away, that we go back to the Appalachian banging on pots and pans, you need to what they call tang, which is ringing a bell or striking metal, striking a key against metal. And that would be granting permission for the swarm to come back. So, I like that tradition. So kind of, ritual, some allegory there. I like that it's kind of the key is the, doing that. It's basically like a law that they have to come back. So it's kind of interesting. Now, it's a fact that bees help us survive, right?
Yeah.
70 of the top 100 crop species that feed 90% of the human population rely on bees for pollination.
No, so, and that's a huge thing, is I think that stuff like this is not taught enough in schools. So people aren't educated enough on the impact of things like bees and stuff like that they have on our ecosystem. We really do rely on them.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fact that, bees help us survive, and without them, all those plants, they wouldn't exist anymore. And then if all those plants go, all the animals who eat those plants are going to go too. This is like a cascade effect that would basically just kill the food chain, right? I don't know what we do without it. So there's, we don't have enough alternatives yet. I mean, we'd be strictly on a fish diet, and that ain't going to be great for a while. That'll last us a little bit, but not the way we've evolved.
It wouldn't last long with everybody that would have to be fed on it. So,
it's just crazy. So now we go into a little bit of the dark side of the bees in folklore and history. So we've got to talk about a few bad stories about the bees. I mean, one thing is bees are associated with a couple bad things. So the Egyptian god, what's his name? I got to look him up real quick. Sorry, clackety clack. There's this Egyptian god, Bes, B-E-S. And he gives the devil, our Christian devil, his appearance. This was in the temple of the goddess Hathor, which is on the bank of the Nile. And there was a relief with Cleopatra, Julius Caesar, Mark Antony. And then there was this guy, Bes. And he apparently stole bees from Ra and corrupted them. And that's why some of the bees there got their angry traits, the swarms. Bes goes on to become something we also know, Beelzebub, which in there. And that goes on to, swarms of bees were demonic because they were evil when they would swarm in anger.
You know, what's interesting, all of that, is it gets into the Africanized bees, because
that's exactly where that goes. Right. That's exactly where that goes.
Because there is definitely traits that are different with bees that have had become Africanized, meaning they've had mated somehow with African bees, which have an anger trait to them.
Yeah, no, and that's just it. They are just crazy. They attack anything dark. That's what they are attracted to. They've done tests where they put black shapes on white shapes, and the bees just swarm the black spots. So to think about that, what the problem is what are black spots on the human body? Your mouth, your eyes, your ears, your openings.
Yeah.
That's where they're going to attack. So they swarm your mouth, they swarm your eyes, they swarm your ears. Oh, it's horrible to think about that. But even in African folklore, the bees are still symbols of unity, teamwork, community. They basically represent wisdom. And they even act as mediators between humans and the divine. They're the divine messengers. Now, they took that the Greeks used that too. Now, the Sand People, S-A-N, not the Sand People of Star Wars, the Sand People, they talk about an exhausted bee.
Single file to hide their numbers.
Yeah. So they actually talk about this great story about a bee that was so exhausted because it carried a mantis across a river, and it left the mantis on a river because it couldn't quite make it, left it on a floating flower, and it couldn't. So it planted a seed in the mantis's body, and that seed grows up to become the first human, according to their religion.
Wow. That is a stretch.
That is a stretch. But hey, so that means we owe the bees even more.
So, yeah.
So then there's also a Slavic evil spirit called, I'm going to mispronounce this because this is Russian. And all this. And he is also Bes or Bees, depending on the Polish or the Russian. He's, again, the devil and described as a daemon or a demon. And he was one of the tribes in Malaysia. And he supposedly is a demonic spirit. He looks very much like the devil, but he has a stinger like the bee on his tail. So instead of the forked tail or the curly tail, he's got a bee stinger, which is pretty darn creepy. All right, enough of the bad stuff. Let's just get back to kind of a nice thing here. Back to the bees and back to modern times. In England and in Germany, currently, people are encouraged to sing hymns near their hives in churches. So to encourage their spirituality, it goes back to that medieval monks keeping the beehives and stuff like that. I think that's pretty awesome. So on Christmas Day, it's said that the bees hum louder in response to these hums. And they say it's not from the chill of the air and it's not from all the Christmas lights, but it's supposed to be in celebration and in reverence. And they respond to the hymns. And it's because they're listening and they're mourning, but they're singing. And I love this quote. It's from an Irish priest who said, "They embody the soul's whisper." I thought that was pretty epic. I thought that is
very, very epic. I love that.
Now, here's where I'm going to wax a little poetical here. We're kind of getting towards the end here, so I just kind of want to talk about a few things real quick. Just indulge me, folks. I'm going to just go into a little bit of a ramble here. So this was something I was kind of composing because of all this, and I was kind of bouncing this off of Carrie, and she thought it was pretty neat. So I'm not a poet by any stretch, but I'm gonna try this. So let me take you deep into folklore's echo chamber. Let's imagine a time where every buzzing wing carried memory. Every comb is a shrine. Every swarm, a procession of spirits. In the old stories, there was a girl, a young farmhand who'd lost her father. The house was full of sorrow, the bees quiet for days. She took up the black linen, her fingers trembling. She walked to each hive, knocked gently and said, "The master is gone, the wind carries his name, the garden grows still." The bees stirred, they didn't fly away. They didn't die. They mourned. They stayed. In the hills of Wales, elders swore they'd seen swarms pause outside church doors, not to forage, but to listen, to bells, to prayer. In New England, a beekeeper died without speaking farewell to his hives. And they rose together, drifted into the mist, and were never seen again. We say bees hum, but folklore says they murmur. They murmur secrets to the flowers. They murmur warnings in the wind. They murmur memories from the hive walls, like hymns pressed into wax. And so, whether you are a keeper of bees, a lover of myths, a seeker of truths, remember this. In the language of folklore, the bee is a blessing, a burden, a bond. It sings not for honey, but for continuity, for soul. What do you think?
I love that. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I wanted to write a little coda. The hive remembers, the hive listens, the hive mourns, and somewhere between comb and wind, they carry our stories onward, buzzing and humming. So. I had fun with that. I got to finish it up. I'm not a poet, but I like it.
I think it's brilliant.
I'm a lover of myth and, and I just, the language of folklore is just, I love it. I love it. I love it. So I got to add my little piece to that.
Save for travelers everywhere. It doesn't matter whether or not you live in a city, if you live in the country, believe it or not, you can keep bees. There is a great system called flow hives that allow you to keep them with very minimal deaths of bees to get honey out. So we'll have to throw the link in the show notes for flow hives. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing to think about is this, is that it doesn't take much space to keep bees. And pretty much every state has a course you can do on beekeeping and bee training and stuff like that. So if you want to give back, you don't have to necessarily create a beautiful garden and all this stuff, bees are a lot more self-sufficient than people realize. So it's something to look into, because you could have a rooftop hive. You can have one in your garden, and people might go, oh, all the bees sting, blah, blah, blah. No, bees are very much like almost any other sort of pet in a way. Is you understand, you get knowledge on them, and then you know when they're not in a position like a dog. Sometimes your dog doesn't want to be pet. Sometimes it doesn't want to be hugged. Sometimes your dog just wants its space and wants its time. Will it bite you if you provoke it? It can bite you. That's not a bad thing. That's the bee the dog communicating. Bees are the same way. They don't just outwardly sting, because it is suicide for them to do that. So the only time they really do that is when they're in defense of something, or you're an evil idiot and you shouldn't be anywhere near them. So that is
Don't be angry and don't shout at them. We want to keep the bees around because we love their legends. We love their stories. We also love their honey, and we need them to survive. So first rule, minimize chemical use. Fertilizers, pesticides, herbicide, they can all, if you minimize that, it's going to prevent toxic contamination, which is going to kill all the bees. So stop that. You know, we're getting better about that. The bees are coming back a little bit, but they're still very not as healthy as they should be. Plant a bee garden, which is just flowers with nectar and pollen. It gives them refuge. If you add a little, like Carrie does, a shallow bee bath, which is just a water, a small little water source. If you've got a bird bath or something like that, just put a couple rocks in it so bees have a place to swim to and climb out if they need to and stuff like that. Certain areas of your lawn, don't mow it. Just give the bees a place to nest. Encourage that next generation of bees. That's also good for lightning bugs. That's good for all the fun insects. It's not going to kill your yard to have a few little spotches of wildflowers and places where the weeds can grow up a little bit. We call them weeds, but they're okay in spots, right? So, and then the most important thing, buy local honey. Support your beekeepers. Support your local hives. Oh my gosh. And it's good for you. It helps with your allergies. I'm not doing it enough, obviously. I need to get on that.
Yes. So, all the sweets you eat, I'm surprised honey is not near the top of the list.
I put a drop in my tea, but I need to, I guess, just put some tea with my honey instead of the other way around.
Actually, I don't know if you know this, but you're not supposed to heat it. You're supposed to eat a spoonful right from the jar.
Yep. And that's good for you. It's, again, Foxfire even mentions that. If you can find the Foxfire books, they are back in print, but they are hard to get sometimes. So, and the old classic ones are super collectible. So, you know, if you can find older prints, they go for hundreds, but don't worry about that. We'll post some links to some others for you. So, Erica, what do you think about the bees?
I love bees. You know that. I have a superior love for bees. I think that we need to spend more time. We need to dedicate. It's one of the things that is just true to my heart. And I love learning all this folklore about them and stuff like that. So, yes. Awesome. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So thank you for this.
There are 16,000 species of bees in the world, and they are found on every continent except one you've been to.
Iceland?
Antarctica.
Oh, Antarctica. That makes sense. I was like, Iceland, there's got to be bees there. But Antarctica, it makes a lot of sense, because there is not a lot of greenery in Antarctica at all. It literally looks like a space planet. We've talked about that before.
Yep. And so, bee venom,
absolutely.
Bee venom is used in a lot of homeopathic remedies because it's got anti-inflammatory properties. But again, we do not offer medical advice. This is just for educational purposes only. Beeswax, of course, used for candles and soap, right? So very useful. Yeah. And according to most organizations, bees are estimated to contribute $19 billion to the U.S. economy annually, and more than $217 billion to the worldwide economy every year.
Wow, and they don't collect paychecks. So
nope.
Something to think about.
All right, gang. That said, I know there's more bits about bees that I haven't uncovered. This was literally a couple weeks of research. And one night.
I would love to hear listener bee stories. I would love to hear that. Because if we're going to go the creepy side of things, Candyman, the movie, involved bees. And then I thought we had a listener tale, but I did read a story one time. Could have sworn this was one of our listener tales, where the person kept hearing noises and stuff at night. And what it turned out was a hive had gotten into their house. And was in their walls. And
they thought it was a poltergeist, and it was some bees that made in. And I love that they didn't have the nest killed. They just had it removed, which was fantastic.
And for listeners who are listening, there are people that will absolutely do that. So if you have a hive or bees that have shown up and just are not in a place you need them to be, reach out to somebody, because bees can be moved. They absolutely can be moved to safer places. And you want to do that, because you don't want to kill them off. That's never a good thing.
And when we're near our houses here in North Carolina, like I live in a cabin that with wood sides, and we get the carpenter bees, and they like to dig in to the wood and all that. So some of the people recommend just grabbing a bee house, and you can put those in. They're kind of little wooden untreated lumber, non-toxic glue stuff. And you basically just put it under your overhangs, and they draw the bees to those. And some people like doing that even if they don't have that type of cabin and stuff, just so that the bees will take up residence in their bee house. So, it's kind of fun. You can leave them up year round, and they have little tubes that so they can develop cocoons and nest inside. You can even put them in like barns and sheds so that they stay in, good temperatures all year. So kind of, again, good way to attract pollinators to your garden. So, the carpenter bees are good pollinators. The only problem with those is once they nest in your house, woodpeckers come and start tearing up your wood. It's the bees aren't the problem. It's the woodpeckers are the problem.
Oh, woodpeckers are terrible. They really do enjoy carpenter bees. They're like a delicacy to them. So
I actually have aluminum paneling underneath the wood. So when they start wrapping into it, it sounds like machine gun fire on my house.
I bet that's fun, especially in the middle of something when you're like, burr, 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 and you're like, what is going on?
I thought my Call of Duty game got real suddenly, but anyway, gang, I hope you enjoyed this little trip down the wilds of bee folklore and legend. Oh my gosh. I had so much fun with this. I don't know what else to say. Thank you, patron people, for keeping us afloat. Thank you, listeners. Like, share, and subscribe. Do all the things. We appreciate that.
And don't forget to check out our events page on eerietravels.com, and you can come out and actually meet us in person and hear some of our wonderful stories and pick up a copy of The Dark Side of the Smokies. We have a couple events we're going to be doing as the book's releasing and stuff like that, but you can come get early copies from us beforehand and get them signed. We even have them signed by the whole Eerie Travels crew, ones by Bo as well. And Carrie did a little cute drawing of the Tazzleworm in them. So it's pretty amazing. You can come get a very special copy. But with that, Mark, I cannot wait to hear your parting words in the name of bees. But before we leave, I will say to our bee friends, bzz, 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 There you go.
That was very profound, Erica. That said, on the road, folklore says they murmur. They murmur secrets to the flowers. They murmur warnings in the wind. They murmur memories from the hive walls, like hymns pressed into wax. And we will see you on the other side.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.